Sierra Entertainment presents Time Shift, an intense action-packed first-person shooter for the Xbox 360, PC, and PS3. Armed with the experimental beta suit, you alone are able to slow, stop, and reverse the flow of time. Lead the uprising to victory by mastering time to become the ultimate weapon. Time Shift will be available October 30th on the Xbox 360 and PC. Visit www.timeshiftgame.com for more details.
Take two. We're recording!
Nice. Very good. How'd you get in here? What are you doing here?
I wanted to join the Brodeo.
Welcome to the Brodeo. Welcome to the Brodeo. It's Crispin from EGM. Yay. Hi, yay. Hello. This is GFW Radio, GFW Brodeo, Games for Windows, the official magazine podcast, November 1st, 2007. Why am I talking this way? I know, because I just had 18 pieces of candy.
Halloween.
Let's Halloween. Kick it. It's a day after Halloween, and we're all jacked up on candy.
Halloween stories. Let's start off with Halloween stories.
No, you have to introduce yourselves first. We have to do that. I'm Jeff Green.
My name is Sean Elliott. One time when I was like six, we went trick-or-treating. My cousin, old lady down the block, gave us apples. My cousin wasn't feeling that. Spit on her face. No doubt.
Wow.
Who's up next?
Sean Malloy.
This is a lot of pressure, Sean.
Yeah, I know. I want to talk about how crappy this paint job on this plastic pumpkin head is.
Wow, you're right. Whoa. That's seriously true.
Yeah, it's awful.
Is that straight from Walgreens?
It's made in America.
It came from
ingenuity.
Some game company brought this to us yesterday, and they filled it with candy, but you're right. They bought the cheapest-ass plastic orange pumpkin with a real... This is like a magic marker.
They've had 30 years to perfect that technology. I had that exact pumpkin when I was a kid.
You're right. Look, they didn't even color in the eye all the way. How lame.
It's like the stencils off by like a half.
Yeah,
an
they
inch.
Were somebody in the factory was like, whatever.
Their tolerance is plus or minus 3,000%.
It said when you looked at it, we knew because, like, yes, for 30 years, this is the same one that you know, my cousin was holding when he spit on that old bag's face. And you're like, so it's got to be made in America, right? But everything else, so what? We got a single piece of plastic, and they couldn't paint the fucking black eye on, match the stencil to the thing.
But look, someone bought it anyway, so they were right.
At a Hong Kong or anywhere, you can get some toy with like 600 parts and screws and stuff in it, and it's all you know, made with nanotechnology. Anything in Crispin's office that'll talk back to you when you come in, make you feel like you're loved. And this thing right here, you couldn't even paint the eyeball on there right.
Maybe it was made by like
our
a journeyman at the factory.
Shit.
Right,
an apprentice.
This was his first job. Somebody bought
There's supposed to be a pile of these somewhere in the back of the factory where they throw them.
I like the handmade touch. You could tell that this is...
Is that what it is?
First try. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are your names? What else? Who's this guy right here?
Ryan Scott.
Do you have a good Halloween story for us?
No.
What's your favorite candy?
No.
What's my favorite candy?
Yeah.
Ask me all these questions.
God, you're useless. What's the last costume you remember dressing up as before you got too old for it? Or are you yet?
Michael Myers.
Michael Myers, that's pretty good.
The comedian?
You don't mean Michael Myers, the PR guy, do you?
No.
That's an awesome costume.
A game company insider joke. There's a PR guy named Mike Myers.
Michael Myers, though, that's like when you go
the
to
voice of Shrek.
Spirit Halloween Superstore 5 hours before Halloween proper, and all you get is the scream mask and a pirate sword.
So was it one of those plastic masks with the little mouth hole in it?
Those are gross.
It was a good Michael Myers mask.
Well, I
and I had
heard,
like a jumpsuit
like a full
and all
mask,
that stuff.
Not one of the plastic like things with the string.
It was like an actual Michael Myers mask, like made by.
Well, wasn't the Michael Myers mask an Inside Out Captain Kirk mask?
Yeah, that's
it was a
heard.
William Shatner mask, spray painted white with the hair.
Really?
You were William Shatner Inside Out.
Basically.
No, that's awesome. Yeah.
A bad teleportation, bad beam action. You're just a pulsing pile of flesh.
Right.
Michael Myers.
that's the same technology that's responsible for the fly.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Very much. You don't just
scary
hop through
shit.
Those.
Do not play with that. Do not play with that.
So we got any? You got a Halloween story you're just dying to share?
He said no.
Anyone though?
Oh, anyone.
Open the floor.
Well, it's Crispin's turn.
Well, I mean, like the most depressing Halloween was the year of the Tylenol scare. Do you remember?
Oh yeah.
That was like no one had their lights on.
Right.
They still don't in my neighborhood.
And but the nice thing that I do remember about that year is that you'd still go up to houses and they would give you money. They'd give you like a quarter because they didn't want any, part of it. Yeah.
You can't buy shit
just
for a
to get you out
yeah,
there?
But you hit like six blocks and you've got like, you know,
that's
like
true.
20
in
bucks.
In my neighborhood, it was pennies.
Oh, man.
And then you take
just to toss some pennies in your bag.
You take that was when you start taking your stuff into the hospital to get it x-rayed, right?
Oh, I remember that.
You
yeah.
want trick or treat? Let's go to the hospital
for
now.
Needles.
Get an x-ray so you can eat irradiated candy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's heartwarming. Yeah. God bless America.
Yeah. This tastes like cancer.
Yeah, I always hate, like, I mean, my daughter's like a little bit, I'm like, she's too cool to trick or treat with dad anymore. But a few years ago when we were still trick or treating as a family before I was excommunicated, like you'd walk down the neighborhood where people are giving away, and there's always like the house, you know, they're home and they got like the front lights out because they don't want to participate. That's right. Like such a fuck you. Turn your fucking light on. Go spend $10 and pass out some candy. How fucking like hateful to humanity do you have to be to not want to give little kids candy on Halloween? I'm busy. I have stuff to do.
It depends where you're at.
God damn.
You know, this yesterday morning on the BART coming in, there's this dude. BART is Bay Area Rapid Transit. It's our local little choo-choo train. And some fool comes in and he's wearing like a Happy New Year banner and some big dumbass raver hat. And he's got one of those kazoos where it like unscrolls.
Yeah, sure.
And as you blow on it, and he's blowing that in everyone's face saying Happy New Year. And it's like you could tell, like, I just woke it up and I was trying to read this new book I got. And
is different.
In your mind, you're like, this guy's thinking, like, I'm here just for guys like you.
Right.
You know, you're just like, all you stiff
live
suits.
It up. Right.
Yeah, I'm here to remind you of happiness. I'm like, no, dude, you're a dumbass blowing a stupid horn in my fucking face
right,
and
but
I'm trying
is,
to read. I don't care
right,
what
but this
you
is
are.
A commute train in the morning, right?
Jeff, don't bring your kid to my house for Halloween.
Yeah. You can be a curmudgeon, like, anti-holiday guy on the commute train, but when it's Halloween night and all the houses around you all have their lights on and the ghost out.
What if it was the old lady that got spit on?
It could be.
She learned a lesson.
If you're in
classical
if you're in the house and you're like, yeah, you're like 90 years old and you got, I don't know, boils on your face or whatever, then okay, you get a pass. But if you're like some like yuppie couple who's just inside and you want to watch Desperate Housewives and you don't want to be bothered by the kids, fuck you.
Oh, not the Gilmore Girls.
Hey, shut up.
In the city, there are no kids. San Francisco doesn't have
That's
children,
true.
So you're not really bothered. But I saw a homeless guy yesterday wearing a rubber banded on vampire mask, and we were walking for lunch, and I was like, hey, look, it's Grandpa Munster. and on the way past, some guys did have, in my group had some candy, and we dropped it in his hat, and I don't think he thought it was funny.
Really?
He was not out there.
Why was he wearing a costume?
I think he thought, you know, because homeless people here really have to try hard to get noticed.
Yeah.
So I thought he'd give him that edge, but instead he got candy, which is, I'm sure, not going to go well with his diabetes anyways.
I liked when that early homeless meme started going around among the funnier homeless guys started doing that, you know, need money for beer thing. Like the first couple of times you thought that you saw that, you were like, hey, that's funny. I'm actually going to give him money because it's true.
And then,
now they all do it.
And you had that big discussion at dinner too. So I ran into this bum the other day, and then you ended up at the podcast doing
what?
That was meta. No, but you know how many times
mocking me?
We've all had a circumstance, right, where you're with someone and you're like, this guy's sign, it said, like, my ninja stole my family and killed my dog. And you're like, that guy, he was funny, so I'm going to give him money. It's not funny. You win money.
I saw some guy some guy walking down the street yesterday dressed as a MySpace page.
What does that look like? He
had like a cardboard thing with like MySpace-esque.
Whoa.
Did it have any trolls on it or anything?
Some music blaring.
And like, you know, on the left there was like a cutout where you put his, where you put it over like on his, supposed to be his picture.
I understand there were lots of companion cubes at the various game industry Halloween parties.
There were. There was a lot more, there was a lot more Orange Box themed costumes. And a lot of Bioshock themed costumes, and really no Halo themed costumes. But I don't know really what you'd have to like go the full.
Because it's so easy to confuse it, though. Like if you get the gorilla costume from Halloween Spirit, the Spirit Halloween Superstore, you might be confused for something or the other. Or if you get just like
a brute
any random rubber mask that some kid just that has a subscription to Fangoria made in his spare time and.
Surprised people like didn't that. Carve out Spencer their legendary super edition helmets that they got when they bought the.
Find some way to do it. Yeah. Well, that's because it's easy. I hear you guys making these snide, you know, backhanded, you know, remarks about Halo, but the thing is anyone can take a few, stitch together a few rags, or just take a styrofoam cube and paint a heart on it and say that they have something to do with Orange Box. But you need skill. You need technical, you know. If you're going to make a Spartan, and it's don't say Master Chief because it's form of Spartan Space Marine armor.
Right. Mark II.
Armor.
Who's this new Righteous
Modernier Mark II.
Yeah. Originally, we were selling armor. We put some track cards next to them and... We sold so many soon, we're selling more and more Trek and less armor.
Well, that company that made the Spartan armor, they were forced to quit. That it was like nightmarearmor.com. They used to make really realistic, like as realistic looking as the guys who dress like stormtroopers. They would make the Spartan armor, but Microsoft was like, you can't make money off
that's cool.
IP. Now they do other armor that's vaguely related to games, but yeah.
Do those stormtrooper guys still get work? Do they?
Of course.
Because there's guys in cities all over the country, right?
Yeah.
That like they have these. There's like a name for them, right? Isn't there like some?
Yeah,
there's
like something a, legion.
Some, yeah.
Yeah.
Legion.
They're like the new Civil War reenactor.
Right.
For a fictional.
I just wonder if they're if there's less call for them now. If they're all just sitting around in their meetings going fuck.
they're like, we need to get some Spartan armor.
Right.
You know?
No one's calling us
Paint
anymore, man. And this stuff's uncomfortable.
And they're never. There's always like the Boba Fett guy, and like the Darth Vader. All these guys put all this money and effort into their costumes,
right? Because Lucas doesn't pay them, right? They got to do this themselves,
right?
Yeah.
But then they're like, 300 pounds. It's like, why not work on the other part of the costume, which is actually fitting into it? Yeah. My disbelief is not suspended.
Yeah,
aren't you a little fat for a stormtrooper?
Yeah, once in a while, yeah, you go to the LucasArts parties and these guys are there, and there's always the one guy, yeah. He usually doesn't have the head thing on because it can't fit either. Some fat, bearded dude with
if you crack it open and they have a couple rubber bands, a couple pieces of twine holding it together. Uh-huh. There's a big seam. You see his hair coming out in between.
Yeah, he's like eating a caramel apple.
Unless the stitching a little bit.
But if you're like a dude with encephalitis or you look like the guy from Mask, you should spin that and then be like Admiral Akbar. That's like a perfect. It's the one day of the year when you can look like.
Several costume opportunities exist for hydrocephaloids. You simply got to know where to look.
That's your one day of the year. This is my coming out party. Happy Halloween, kids. It's my face. Do you have anything gaming related to talk about this week at all?
Yeah, I got one. It's related to games, kind of.
Is it? Okay.
It's a dream start.
It's a Dreamcast. Crispin, I might have told you this story. I don't know. That's how I start all my stories, so.
I'll stop you when you've told it to me, and then you can just stop telling it.
Yeah. That makes for great radio. Yeah.
So
I did hear it someday.
At one point, when I was in grad school, I had a friend down from San Diego who was my old roommate as an undergrad was staying over, and one morning he wakes up and he goes over to my room and wakes me up and says, "Hey, do you know some guy meets this description?" I'm like, "What are you talking about, dude? Leave me alone. Go back to bed." And it's like someone was just in here like standing above me, and I asked him like who are you? Do you know Sean?" And the guy was just like, "Yeah, I know him." And and he's like, "I just sensed something was wrong." So I told him, I don't think you should be here. And then he just said, "Okay." And then he left. And so the setup is that this guy also, he was prone. This guy's Mike Cole. He was prone to waking hallucinations. So now and then he'd wake up and think he
waking
saw
hallucinations.
Yeah. Where in the borderlands between sleep and wakefulness, like sometimes certain people will have these odd, like, jarring transitions,
sure, okay,
where they'll think they see themselves looking at them from the end of the bed. Various, neuropsychologists and stuff have taken it back and through time and said, "Hey, maybe this is an explanation for some of the more archaic descriptions of people thinking that there were demons sitting on their chest when they woke up and making it difficult for them to breathe and whatnot." So anyway, this is all important because I just dismissed it. Ultimately, I'm like, "You tripping, Mike?" Until a week later, which would be Christmas, it was the night of Christmas Eve, I'm sleeping and I woke up.
I don't know why. It was just kind of, I woke up and I looked. And I looked at my door, which was closed. And beneath it, I saw a flash of light. And it was just a very small single-bedroom apartment where there was the room. And then right outside, there was the living room, which was the kitchen and everything all together. And then there's a bathroom next to it. So I said, okay, whatever. I'm just tripping out. I'm going to go to the bathroom and go back to bed. So I go to the bathroom. I stand there. And I turn around. And as I'm going back to my room, I see a silhouette of some fool, like, standing in my living room. And so then I just kind of pretended I didn't see him and went back into my room and looked around for something. I didn't have anything, any kind of weapon, so I just took a belt I had and then connected the buckle and then let the rest hang in my hand so that I could, like, whip the shit out of him with that, hitting him in the face with the buckle. And then so I went out in the living room holding this thing, and the guy was, like, still there. And I turned the light on, and he's just there all of a sudden. I was like, what are you doing in my house, man? But I was all pissed off. You know, I mean, I was like total fight or flight.
Like a crazy looking guy
and keyed up. No, he was a dude. He was wearing like a hoodie, you know, and he had his hands in his pocket doing that kind of shit. And the first thing he says, he's like, "It's okay. I've been sent here to protect you." And then I look as he says this, I'm looking around and I see, and this is why we're talking about games now. My Dreamcast and my Dreamcast games are all lined up, you know, with my checkbook and my wallet. They're all lined up on my coffee table. And there's like a bag near him. And he's like sitting there. And I'm like, dude, okay, seriously. Like, I called the cops. I didn't really, of course. My phone was out in the living room. I didn't even have a cell phone at the time. And he's like, just remember, I've been sent here to protect you. And so he was really great at I came out of the room ready to immediately just start fighting. And I knew, I'm like, hey, I'm probably about to get stabbed or shot now, but I'm not going to go in my room and pretend that this shit's not happening. So I went out there ready to do that. And immediately it caught me off guard long enough to ask myself, what the hell? In Ryan's words. And anyway, basically it just was super awkward. And he kept saying, just remember, you're unhurt. Just remember, you haven't been hurt. Like some like weird innuendo, you know, like, hey, I had the chance when you were asleep, maybe I could have gotten there and jacked you or something.
Was there was there an acknowledgement here that a robbery was in place?
Other than that, yeah, I was like, other than I'm sitting there like brandishing the belt thing and he's kind of doing the hands in the pockets, like intimating
like maybe
a weapon.
He has a gun.
Okay. Right. You know, and then eventually it was just the most bizarre thing. I'm sure it probably just happened in 30 seconds, you know, and he says, okay, I'm going to grab my kamikaze sack and just slip out. Remember, I'm here protecting you. And like, then I was like, oh, all right, dude. And then he grabbed his bag, you know, and then went and immediately.
Did he scoop up your stuff?
No, he didn't get anything.
So he didn't steal anything.
Then I would have went back to the fighting mode. At that point, I was like, okay, you can leave and then I'll work about catching you later. But I'm like, I still don't know what he had because he was doing that with both hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like playing very much like, you know, I don't know what you got. And I'm like, and also, if someone's crazy enough to break in your fucking place twice, to come in your place twice, I mean, obviously, you're not talking about, like, hey, the old, like, let's meet in the playground and tussle. You're talking about, you know, pretty much a fight to the death or incapacitation. So I was like, hey,
I got that Dreamcast.
But anyway, yeah, that was, it turned out he had the key to the place because I didn't hear it and somehow had the key to it. And so.
How do you have a key?
Freaked me out for a long time. I put a bunch of wind chimes on the door to wake me up. And I got
not only is it good protection, but they sound nice.
Yeah. Then you go back to work, and everyone, of course, you hear, you know, when I was in grad school and I also worked at the grocery store, everyone at the grocery store side's like, oh, man, I would have blown that motherfucker's head off if you did that to me. And, like, you got to hear that all month long. And, like, well, too bad I didn't have a gun to do it with, huh? And they, well, that's why we got to get you one. And it's like, so instead I bought I bought basically like an entrenching tool. And I had that right on my bed.
You needed like a ninja star and like a machete.
Yeah.
My version of the story would have involved going back to the room, staying there, clutching my tenant's insurance policy under my blanket.
This is the second story, too, so I couldn't go out the window.
Pardon me while I take some photos of my property. Yes.
Yeah.
So if it's gone.
So
today's this guy?
Topic, has anyone ever tried to gank your games?
Yeah,
it was just
actually.
Some fool. It was just some.
Did you ever find out what the deal was?
Never caught him or anything. Please don't care, because I ended up. It was so weird, and it was in like. Because I was moving from Seattle to Bellingham, Washington, which is up on the Canadian border toward Vancouver. And I was like,
I'll just look in the paper or whatever. I don't need to go up and check anything out there. It's Bellingham. What? How bad can it possibly be? And so I ended up, there actually was a slum area there, and I ended up signing up for a year lease with this place in it where there had just been a drive-by like 6 months before. There's like no lighting or anything, just stray cats everywhere. And
but that was like the most polite, relaxing robbery that I've ever
heard. Yeah, I know.
Very much was.
He said he was there to protect you. I thought it was going to be like a superhero story.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's what it was sounding like to me.
He knew how to play it.
He was like a hero sort of guy, you know?
He was a
like
hero.
Like the mutants had come in to try to steal your shit, and he was there saving it.
So what did he take?
He didn't take anything.
Weird.
Maybe he was there to protect
you. He was just
you.
Lining it. That's how a lot of criminals, they crime burglars or whatever, they'll lay stuff out. Like Sean, you were saying you were
Well, I don't understand the thing about lining the shit
up. Lies the turf.
Was he like an OCD criminal? Well, why was he lining it all
exactly
up? Just shove it into the bag.
Our house was broken into, and we didn't see the guy do it. But when we got home, our stereo equipment and all our CDs were perfectly lined up on the floor. Like, they took it all apart and laid it all out.
That's so freaky.
They left with our jewel cases, but not the CDs.
Weird.
And our two Atari Lynxes.
What?
We had one. Me and my brother each had an Atari Lynx. So we could link them up and play, I don't know, the phobe together or whatever.
Oh, God. Holy shit. That thing.
The Atari Lynx is almost as big as the 8800 GTX.
It was a giant machine, and I loved it.
Wow.
That's scaling.
I've never heard of this, the crooks lining the stuff up.
It was really
creepy.
Might be the same.
I'm not reading the right crime manual. Yeah, I'm the same guy. Yeah.
Well, our theory was our grandmother who lived upstairs, like, started coming down the stairs, so they jetted. Because otherwise, why would you just take the jewel cases and leave the stereo equipment like that? I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you just say they didn't? They took the jewel cases, but not the CDs?
Right.
So they took the CDs out of the jewel cases?
Yes.
They stole blank jewel cases?
Yes.
They can come here to GFW because we got like 8,000 of those.
I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they were. I really have no idea. It was just crazy.
Apparently, it was all to protect Sean.
That dude's protecting Sean to this day. The dude's standing outside Sean's apartment
to
protect you.
When there was only one set of footprints, Sean. I never had any games stolen, and I'm not really proud of this. But a long time ago, in like a bookstore, I really wanted the Epix fast load cartridge for my Commodore 64.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just sitting in a big bin of games. It was like, I don't know, it was like 20 bucks. And I just stood there for a while, looked around. The store was really busy. I stood there for a while, had my bag ready. I kept checking, like, you know, these old stores had mirrors in the corners, like the wraparound mirrors. I'm like, there's probably cameras behind those. So I like kind of had my back to him. And finally, I dropped it in my bag. And I was there with my friend Mike, who had a motorcycle. And he was like, I said, Mike, I got it. Let's go. So we like, out of the bookstore, across the mall, through this, like, we had this mall all figured out, and like we went through there was kind of a Rite Aid there. We went through their back door where his motorcycle was, and man, I was so sure that like mall security was right behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And we just hopped on his motorcycle and got the hell out of there.
How old
you got
were
away?
You?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was early teens.
Okay.
I was actually caught shoplifting about a month later, so that was kind of the end of my
dude. That's
crime
your career.
Wow. So have you ever admitted the story before in public? This whole crime spree of yours?
We're
I don't think so. Yeah, I think the statute of limitations is probably expired on stealing an Epix fast load cartridge.
It was
well enjoyed, ill gotten gains, though.
I did that too.
Yeah.
I shoplifted, I stole a Kansas record.
Yeah. Dude, okay.
So the joke was on me because I took it home and I had to listen to Kansas. So.
Carry on.
Dust in the wind. Fuck. I stole this.
I got caught and had to go to juvenile hall for stealing two cassette tapes.
Well, we can see the common thread amongst gaming editors. Yes.
Here's this story. You got to listen to yours, but mine, it was at Tower Records, and I went with this kid who, like, it was the same brothers, Jason and Shane. I talked to you a little bit about them before, about one of them's shitty underpants we found behind
that. Guy.
Yeah. So that guy,
he's now a podcast legend.
So when we got busted and they drag us back into security, the guy's like, well, let's see what you kids have. And he pulled out for me, he's like, Sonic Youth Goo, Happy Mondays Bummer. He's like, that describes the state you're in now, huh?
Did he say that?
Yeah, and then he's like,
That's
he pulls
awesome.
Out my
it's
friends, he's like,
what
what's
a fucked
this?
Up cop thing to
and
say.
Then, and then he pulls, no, this was like the guy that worked there.
Okay.
And then he pulls up my friends, he's like, Sepultura? He's like, dude, he's like, you're getting arrested for stealing this shit? He was like totally clowning on him. And then, but his dad was there to come pick him up, so he didn't have to go anywhere. And my parents were away for the weekend, so I got to go to
I got to go to JV and kick it.
Did you do the thing I think everyone who gets caught does? It's like, I'll pay for it. I got the money. I'll pay for it right now.
And no, like, I didn't do that with the
crying about,
the
my dad's going to kill me.
Oh, yeah. I was pretty.
I didn't do it with the Candace album because it wasn't worth the $3.99 that records cost back then.
How do you steal a record?
It wasn't worth it in the first place.
You go in. Actually, let me preface this with kids. Don't actually do this.
Right.
Needless to say.
I learned my lesson. Crime doesn't pay.
Idiotic stuff.
But what we did, though, was we brought in a bag from that store from records we had actually bought in the past. So we were holding a bag from Music Plus, which was the name of the store, with records in it. And then we just slipped the new one in the bag.
You just got the 2-for-1 deal.
Basically, yeah. We didn't get caught, though. I mean, we took it home and then had a Kansas record. So,
Lesson learned right there.
Crime doesn't pay. Take it off.
They saw you on the cameras. They're like, let him go.
Yeah.
He'll figure it out.
Before we end this topic, this is even worse than stealing. Went to, it's one of those stores where it's not quite a thrift store, but it's like liquidated stuff. You know, like they have Grocery Outlet and it's the grocery version, call it Gross Out, but they have one for like other non-perishables thing. And we went there and we're changing the stickers. So it's like, you know, you just put, which is the same as stealing, of course, but it's like we just put like a sticker, it's like 15 cents on all the stuff. And the part of the thing there is that the clerks were special needs, might be a politic way of saying
it. Be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as we're going through the counter, person I'm with is just like, they're just like, oh man, it's so cheap here, I love it. And the clerk was like, yeah, it's so cheap. And we're just like, it's so cheap, it's almost like stealing.
oh man. You can't stealing and mocking the people you're stealing from.
How do you feel about that?
I don't feel good. I feel bad.
What did karma do to him later?
Yeah, really. I think we all need to go do some volunteer work when this podcast is over.
Yeah.
Deal.
I have one more record store thing that doesn't involve stealing, but it involves getting made fun of by the clerk, which is I had this friend he was super into Kiss. At the time Kiss was you know, they had never taken their makeup off yet.
Right.
Now that we all know what they look like and they're all old anyway. But at the time they were cool and they were the guys in the mass. And so my friend was in the Kiss Army, which he had to like mail away for, and he got a little sticker and all that stuff. I wasn't in the Kiss Army because I didn't like Kiss, but he was. And the new Kiss album was going to come out any day now. It was Love Gun was the name of the record. And my friend was just dying for Love Gun to come out. And, you know, so we went into the record store after school one day. And, it was back pre-internet. You know, you didn't know when shit was coming out, whatever. So he goes up to the clerk and he says, hey, can you tell me when Love Gun's coming out? And the clerk goes, who gives a shit? That's the whole story. I never forgot it because I just laughed in my friend's face like, oh, yeah. The guy who's going to make money off it doesn't even care. That's how lame your band is.
His Gene Simmons tongue will stab your twat for a bag of pot.
Have we talked about games yet?
I just wanted to make you feel comfortable.
Yeah, that was
roundabout.
They've been orbiting our conversation.
We've been orbiting games.
Dreamcast and Epic's Fast Cartridge for mentioned.
Right.
Have you guys given up on Team Fortress 2? Crispin, are you playing it at all?
It was pretty fucked up on the 360 for a while. They just fixed it last weekend, but I haven't played it since. I'm actually playing back through Episode 2, and a lot of guys on EGM are playing through Half-Life 2 for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And the same complaint I keep hearing is it just starts so slow.
Right,
which
yeah.
I guess it did. I don't really remember. It actually spawned a feature idea that I want to do about, like, that first half hour of a game. Like, mm-hmm. there are other games that started slow and get better, like, on the consoles, like Resistance Fall.
I guess I can see that, especially if you're coming from a console background and you didn't play Half-Life 1, where we were all giving it the benefit of the doubt because we knew Valve and we knew Half-Life 1.
Right.
You know, I think we were probably more patient because we knew what was coming.
Well, yeah,
and I guess if you have no clue.
It was desolate stretches.
Well, I even told them, Brian, who's our previews editor, he's finally got to a part where it's getting good and he's really liking it. But Michael, our news editor, still is like, it's so slow. And I'm like, you know what?
But Donahoe you're talking about.
Yeah, but I just told him to skip to episode 2 because he's not really up on the story anyways.
Yeah,
and episode 2 is so good throughout.
Right, episode 2, to me, is my favorite of all the Half-Lifes.
Yeah.
It depends on what they're talking about by slow. Like, I think that the boat ride was, like, way overly long and slow. But if you're talking about when you first come in and you get off the train and you're in the train station, the interrogation room scene, your first look at the city square and, you know, the Orwellian broadcasting system, guys being beaten down, your first trip through the tenements. These are all very, like, sure, you're not, like, blasting the shit out of anything.
Yeah.
And the pacing is toned down. But those are, like, completely incredible moments of that
right,
game.
But if
they're talking about that, which I'm inclined to think that Donahoe is probably very much means that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's different than, like... Do you know what he's talking about, complaining about as being slow?
He hasn't even gotten to the swamp buggy part yet,
So he doesn't even know from slow. You think that's boring. You just wait, Donahoe. That's what we're all about here in PC gaming. Yeah.
But, I mean, so much about games...
No,
like,
it's pacing.
I mean, even console games, in general are built to deliver a bigger and more rewarding experience as you go along. It's kind of like, what's around the next corner? What's the next level?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's anything unique that, you know, like Half-Life 2 start out slow. I don't really remember thinking it started out slow. So, and then
it establishes, I mean, I'm defending it, but because I'm very, passionately supportive of the approach they took for the beginning of that. And that's that, like, you start the game, the first thing you see is the Citadel, and you're going to see that it's going to frame your experience the entire time you play the game, and you're ultimately going to end up there. Something very, very few games ever do.
Yeah, Bioshock did it too, with, like, introducing you to Rapture and starting to introduce you to these powers that only...
Right.
Yep.
And in that, here's the tone, here's the world that you're inhabiting, and it's confusing. And because you just appeared in it, your character, in the same fashion that as the player you just appeared in it, again, like in Bioshock, where, you know, this is your introduction to this world. Uh-huh. Establishing, you know, the scene and all the stuff, and it is so much fun to just to look at, you know. I mean, in the interaction when one of the Metro police says, hey, knocks a can off the trash and says, pick that up and throw it in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even where you're like, I'm someone's bitch. I just started this game and I'm someone's bitch. Like, no, how many other shooters do that? And they even care where, instead of you come in, you blow heads off and you come out blowing heads off, you know? I mean, there are actual changes in your level of empowerment, and of course it flips it, and at the end you're ultimately empowered. And then a lot of people complain about that too. The last level is so easy, it's supposed to be a boss, it takes 2 hours of play.
Well, this seems like the concept of boss is almost going away in a lot of games, because it'll just be a culmination of all the gameplay that you've learned throughout the game coming together and like a challenge to solve. Mm-hmm. But I mean, no one on EGM is giving up on the game. I just think, and I know you guys have talked about these games to death, and you talked about Halo to death, but I think I just recently beat Halo 3, and by the end of it, I was so sick of fighting the Flood, which that was like turning me off to the game.
I think
what
might be the problem with some people in Half-Life 2's beginning is that they don't realize that when you get to like Ravenholm or something, you're suddenly in like a very different game.
Right.
And like there's all these turns where you're just like, and now we're going to do something completely different with the FPS genre. And maybe they think the whole game's going to be what they're experiencing in that first however many hours that is.
Right. Like, I mean, Valve never does the thing. I can't even think in episode 1 or 2 they do it either, of like starting you off in the middle of action. Mm-hmm. Like they ramp it up. Like some games do.
Yeah.
Right? They put you into the middle of a fight right away and then ramp it down. Just classic storytelling technique. But I don't think Half-Life has ever done that, have they?
No, it's always been a gradual
build.
Yeah.
Exception of episode 1 does in the sense that it's kind of like the place is gonna blow. Like it's kind of like the equivalent of starting Metroid at the when the timer's running. Yeah. Except there's no timer.
Right. But that's the thing, more on the consoles again, but role-playing games, especially Japanese role-playing games, just start so slow.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's kind of turned me off more and more to that genre now that I don't get just one game a year. But the fact, like, there was a game, Blue Dragon, that came out for the 360 from the guy who made Final Fantasy, had the most boring, like, first half hour. And then there was another highly critical hit, Okami, that had like a wolf and it had this cool watercolor. Mm-hmm. That was like first half hour was tutorial. So
yep.
Yeah.
And then it gets good. And it's like these games that just start.
Well, that game was interesting because it was so unusual too. I mean, they almost had to teach you how to play that in Okami.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
then it's like, you know, you sit there and you watch text scroll for so long.
Yeah. That was
text scroll is never a good thing.
No.
How you start and end them, it's very important, you know, and like just all the other mediums.
Well, Ryan Metal Gear Solid 1 for the first time. And I have to say, Metal Gear Solid Virgin, this I've totally missed the series. So you gave me the Nintendo, the GameCube edition, right?
Mm-hmm. And you're having the same problem that I had.
I can't get out of the first fucking room. I feel like a complete loser because you get thrown into this
and I'm sure many people listening to the podcast, probably all you guys around the table here have played them, but I haven't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're just put into this room with like a few enemies, and there is no tutorial mm-hmm. at all on the stealth mechanic. And all you have to do is get from one end of the room to the other where the elevator is.
Right.
And for the life of me, I can't do it without dying. You know, I've started. And Ryan, you told me not to feel too bad about this, right?
Well, right. I mean, it's like they introduce you to so many different, you know, you got to know not to use your gun. You got to know how to, you know, sneak up behind the guys and choke them. You got to know how to, like, tap on stuff to get their attention.
And to read the interface.
And none of this. And there's no moment in the game that we're used to now where they walk you through it. They baby you through it.
Yeah. And that's a series, too, that started off like that, but was enormously successful and popular, mm-hmm. but only got more and more complicated and convoluted to the point where you're holding the controller like Gilbert's yeah. Grape or whatever. That's like trying to push all these buttons just to look down the barrel of your machine gun and shoot. And that's one thing they're doing with the new Metal Gear Solid is they're taking it way back and making it more, you know.
So you don't got to like do five different steps to get rid of a bullet anymore?
You might. So that's what I haven't actually played it, but guys on my staff.
Even though I was sucking at it, I kind of had, it's not that I admired it, but it made me think like, wow, this is definitely a change in game design, that in the old days they threw you in and you didn't get your, you know, half an hour, you know, now let's see if you can duck.
Yeah.
You know, congratulations, soldier, you ducked.
Yeah.
You know, now right. they just, in those days, you're just, good luck to you, man. Here's the game.
Right.
That's, and you were trying to use your gun, right? You're trying to shoot him.
Yeah, it was just because, you know, guys were attacking me, so I shot them.
And then you're fucked if you rented the game from Blockbuster because they didn't have the instructions. They would have the instruction card printed on the back.
Yeah.
It was like, wasn't even, it was written in who knows where.
It had a few pro tips on it.
Yeah. Yeah. The Argyle army has invaded. They just make up their own story.
Speaking of pro tips, the reason that I brought up Team Fortress is because a lot of people have been, I want to see if you guys are still playing it all, because a lot of people have been asking for more
tips.
Yeah, they want those pro tips.
Well, EGM's going to start a team, so we need pro tips.
Okay. One thing to know:
play the PC
is
version.
Increasingly. I'm having this thing where everyone is like now, you know, I have to bring them up. So people that play the GFW radio drinking game, get ready to empty your glass. When I play the game with Rory, he gets upset increasingly, and I'm like, he wants to go play, you know, opposing fronts or something. And I start figuring out what's wrong is that normally we're really competitive about who's got the higher score, even if it's on our own team, you know. And the banana riders, which is, you know, the phenomenon of like medics that are eager to please, are giving me a serious advantage over him.
Don't diss the medics, man.
No, I love them. Here's the thing. Here's my newfound appreciation of them. But the medics are... This is just me. I say rude things and just don't take it the wrong way. But like they're the prison yard bitches of Team Fortress. And here's why.
There's, some of us like being prison.
There's
yard
something.
Bitches.
No, and it's wonderful because we're all in that prison, right? But they're like you want to curry their favor. You're like, I got a pack of smokes for you, dude. And like, or I'll protect you. I'll make sure that like, you know, when Juarez comes through tonight. He's not going to jack you. He won't hit you with the rocket. I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to give you a pack of smokes, right? And you're going to, like, follow me around everywhere and, like, heal me up. So the thing is you fight for their favor. Say there's only two medics on your team. You want to be – if you want to go for, you know, the high score and be, you know, the superstar of your team and capture the points and break their defenses down or stop them on their offense, it's like, if you have a medic with you, you're so set. But then when – I think Rory's getting jealous, basically, because he doesn't have his own banana rider.
He needs to step up his incentive.
Because there will be cases where, you know, like my score will be like 100 and something, and then the next highest up will be like 60, and it'll be like, and it's just because, and that is part. It's not just like you don't just latch a medic on to anyone. Like you have to know how to work with the prison bitch, but you but then you get like if you know how to play well together, then the benefits are there. But anyway, so I got to thank it this guy Diplomat. I wanted to give him a shout out because he's not a banana rider. He's just a really good player, and he can play medic well and is like cool enough to do it. But so I gave some like class specific things before, but I think now as people have been playing a lot more, there's just kind of some general interesting points. One, a few exploit things that, you know, and someone wrote in asking to talk about this too. Like if you want points and you're an engineer, you're in a circumstance where your turret, your sentry is not shooting guys down every other second, build teleporters next to one another, because we found out that every teleportation event will earn you half a point. So two of them, you get a full point. So you put them there, and when in between, when nothing's going on, you just keep going over and over in your teleport. Come out one side, out the other, and it recharges, and just you just keep doing that, you know. People that are really dumb and they want to just get, you know how every time you load a map, it gives you your ranking, your top scores? Mm-hmm. Well, you get a friend into a server as a spy, and you're an engineer, and each map has a location. Not every map, but some maps have these locations that are not very heavily traveled. And when what you do is you go there as an engineer, build your sentry, have the spy come in, sap it, put the sapper on it. You hit the wrench, knock it off, repeat over and over and over again. And you just watch your score climb, and then you can go away, and it says, you know, your top score playing engineers, whatever, 100 and something. But more more general things would be, like, rather than looking at just, like, you do want to know the best way to play each class, but something more important, I think, is, like, the metagame involved, and that's looking at the course of the game and saying, given these circumstances, it would probably be wise for me to switch classes. So say you go in as a soldier and you see a super sentry gun heavy defense, and you say, you don't sit like, you know, I don't say, hey, let's go be a spy, because you're never, unless the engineers are completely idiotic, you're not going to go and blow up all those. Mm-hmm. So instead I'll go to demo man, and where I can find some angle of approach where I'm covered and I can throw pipe bombs in and I can blow everything up all at once. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I do that, maybe they all switch to soldiers. Mm-hmm. So then I'll think, you know, and switch to some other class. But it's kind of like, you can only give the general advice as to, like, always be aware of, like, when the circumstances would favor one class over another.
Well, that seems...
And the makeups are always changing on each
yeah.
team.
I mean, that to me seems like one of the more obvious.
It is
things.
But everyone,
I
mean, I
understand that not everybody does, but, like, when I join a server, the first thing I do is hit tab and I see what the makeups are. And to see where there's a hole on my own team. Mm-hmm. And see what would make most sense against what's there.
Right.
That just seems, I mean,
specifically how they're fielding it too, how they're fielding those assets. Like, but right. That is rad though, because a lot of times people will join in and it won't say, and it'll be like, what if there's like six heavy weapons guys?
Well, that's what I notice on a lot of servers, and the games usually suck, is that clearly there's been no discussion at all, or even awareness if people aren't talking
right.
over what's missing here.
Yeah.
You know? Wow, that's there's eight old. Spies? Really?
That's what makes the map 2 Fort is kind of like the most loved and also the most hated map. And because it seems to a lot of people like it's just deathmatch for it or stalemate for it or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you play as a team, it's so rewarding because it's like just the right mix where it takes some serious effort to get the flag. It takes significant effort to defend it. And you have to constantly like be changing your makeups, working together. You can't just spawn in a trickle where, mm-hmm. say, I get killed, I spawn, run out my door and run to their base again. Meanwhile, 10 seconds later, someone else will do the same. And I mean, you really have to like coordinate and communicate on that, and it's a lot of fun to play. So, those are a few things. Some other interesting things are like when immediately on attack and defend map, when a medic combo comes out of the gate, and they're going to be ubercharged if they're smart. You know, they basically inflict damage on themselves inside their spawn area so that they can get the ubercharge built up before the gates open. And when they come out, a lot of people... Well, there's two wasteful things. A lot of times people just keep shooting at an Ubered enemy with the old nerd's tail that if you hit them enough, you'll reduce the duration of the Uber. But that's not true. The times that it does make sense to hit them, though, is if you're a soldier or if you're a demo man and you have pipe bombs, what happens is that you could still fling them and throw them.
Oh.
So you throw a bunch of pipe bombs in the ground. They come out the gate, right?
They're invulnerable to damage, though.
They are. But what happens is sometimes you could throw the guy so far away from the medic that you break their beam.
Oh.
And then the Uber goes away. Because you've thrown them so far apart or something like that.
That's
smart. So there's a lot of stuff like that people are starting to pick up on.
By the way, let's point out that once again, Sean Elliott's wearing a Team Fortress 2 shirt.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I was wondering what that was.
Yeah.
It's very subtle.
Not coincidentally discussing the game on our podcast.
Shilling yeah. it.
A little kickback from Valve this week.
We do have
wear the shirt. Talk about the game,
and we got the 1UP server too. It's not hosted by 1UP, but someone made it the 1UP server.
Oh, really?
And we all go on there and play, and it's cool. I think they're gonna give me some admin privileges.
So how many?
My
do
first
you
act
have
will
now?
Be to ban everyone else that gave me the privileges. No,
so you
not,
have three
I'm
of these shirts now. Three.
Why do you make him feel so uncomfortable right now, man?
So was it like today? Oh, it's Thursday. It's Soldier
Day. It's Soldier Day, yeah. Tomorrow's Heavy Weapons Day.
Yeah, how fast?
But you know how you said that it's self-evident, though? I mean, like that you should mix classes.
Right.
But my evidence for the fact that it's not is when everyone says, what class do you play? Which assumes that you just do one, and it's like, say it's like Tekken or something, and you play Kuma, and you're a Kuma dude.
Well, I have the default. Like, to me, it's a default. Like, now I'm just, well, prison bitch, I guess. I mean, I like medic. So when I go on to play, I'm saying to myself, I'm going to play medic, but I'll press tab, and if there's three medics on the team already, I'll go, well, okay, not this time.
Yeah,
I'll just go do something else.
If you're doing it well, though, that is maybe the one class that you can't. If you're paired up, like say, if you have three pairings of medics and demo, soldier, or heavy, like that's it's almost like a demo and a soldier is almost better than two soldiers, depending on the circumstance, whether it's offense or defense.
Well, now when you say play a medic well, like what's the difference between playing a medic well and playing a medic poorly? Like,
there's like the entry level thing, and that's when you first start off spawning. And you see a medic immediately turn his hose to a heavy weapons guy and stand there. Meanwhile, all the soldiers are standing in front of the resupply boxes screaming for medics. And the reason they're over there is because they don't have to reload their rockets. When you shoot four rockets and you're in front of there, it automatically just puts you back up to four. So what happens? You just hold fire down, stand in front of it.
Oh, my God.
And you splash damage yourself so much. And the medic keeps you alive. And it fills up his Uber far before the gates even open. Mm-hmm. So if you see that... I mean, that's the base level. That means ignore that medic. That means that medic does not exist in your mind. There might be a random chance that he will turn and maybe help you in some capacity. But otherwise, he just is just like, he's like a spray tag on the wall or something. You know, someone hit T and a medic came out. But then the good ones, well, no, of course. I mean, there's a good banana rider and then there's a good general medic. And I got to be careful to like... differentiate them because I don't want to be like the good medic's the one who follows me around wherever I go and does whatever I tell him he needs to do. But they are good. They see where the guy's going. They keep the thing connected, but they also know that if there's other guy around him and they're going in for offense, and it's like, hey, we have another soldier here. He's got 20 health. Just by turning to him for a second and healing him up again, we now have two soldiers going in on this offense plus me, as opposed to, well, screw him. I'm not going to stop charging this one guy, and we'll just let him die. And there was a huge waste. You could have had an overhealed soldier, which means, 300 health going with you. So basically just being aware and also knowing that they can fight. Immediately knowing, because the bone saw is excellent melee. The hypodermic gun is great. Mm-hmm. Knowing when... So if you're healing someone and you know there's a spy coming behind you, instead of just screaming spy, 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 switch to your bone saw, turn around, stop healing, turn around and hit him before he can get you or shoot him and then go back. I mean, so like, a really good one, like I was saying, the diplomat guy is like, he's self-sufficient at the same time. And then the last thing would be in a spawn waves, instead of just running out as a medic and saying, well, maybe I'll find someone, and you find someone that you are working well with, that you can rely on, because there's other thing. It's not all about what the medic can do for you. But like I said, in the prison analogy, it's what you could do for the medic in return. So the pack of cigarettes that you give him is basically turning around and spy checking for him and stuff too. You don't just run around blindly to what's going behind you, because a medic with his healing gun out is a huge target for a spy. Because he's almost guaranteed to be just like dope, 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 walking along, with this doing his thing. So just constantly looking, making sure that pyros aren't jumping down behind him and coming after you guys and stuff. And then so what happens is when you find a good mate, then you wait at the spawn for them. They get killed or something. You like wait or just say where you're at and where you can meet up.
Have a quiet ceremony in Honolulu.
Yeah. Oh. Shit. Hey.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What? I got nothing.
Okay.
I was just checking the time.
Yeah. I would say we kind of hear the web, but.
We got to hear the web, and I got this private message I was going to read.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's time for that.
Hit
that's
that guy?
A great time.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
That is the time.
This kind of relates back to Sean's surreal dream earlier. Not dream. But I was thinking about this guy during your whole tale.
Oh, my friend,
guy.
My friend waking up and having the guy there.
Right. Well, this showed up in my 1UP inbox a few days ago. The subject was shroom with me. Five O's. The message is, Dear Jeffrey Green, I currently have 7 mature water bottle cultures of psilocybe semillanceata, I believe you say, a.k.a. Liberty Caps. Is it okay if I send you guys at GFW 3/8 of them? The package would be to Ziff Davis Media, Jeff Green. I'll look it up in the mag. That's good. Thanks, fella. That won't get me fired. By the way, I love the November issue.
Right in the middle of the drug.
By the way, I love the November
issue. That's his way. That's his way of saying thanks.
Yeah, issue was spelled I-S-H-U, by the way, issue. It won't have my address, and you can all trip balls and do a special podcast.
You please, just listen to it.
Please, Jeff, I'm begging you to let me send you psychotropic drugs. Yeah, you just listen to it.
He has since PM'd me many times, too, saying how serious he is, and he, in particular, wants Ryan to trip balls. Because he wants to hear Ryan go on an epic, on a quote-unquote epic Guild Wars rant. He's like, you would get Ryan talking, I guarantee it.
I don't need to be high to do a Guild Wars rant.
Wow.
And, then after that, I think, like, he could tell you weren't accepting his offer. He's like, could you tell Jeff I can send him some marijuana?
Like, why would I want that? I told him, thank you. That's very generous of you. As an employee of Ziff Davis Media, I'm afraid I have to say no. Thank you for the offer of the illegal drugs sent to my workplace.
You could have given him the address, but just have it be like San Francisco Police Department and just say CC Jeff Green.
Right.
Well, actually, you wouldn't want your name on it. Rather.
Well, probably not. Yeah.
Sorry.
Care of Games for Windows Mag. Yeah. So obviously I'm not going to say his name on the air.
Why not?
Okay, actually.
No, don't say his name.
No, I'm just kidding. I won't.
He's just trying to hook you up. More importantly, he's trying to hook Ryan up. Yeah.
The problem is we can't have a 6-hour podcast. Maybe we could.
We could
describe our moods as the hours pass.
We could send
him. You'd have one listener, you'd have that guy.
Yeah, he'd be with us the whole way.
We could send him to Enchanted Toast, who's this week's hero of the web.
Okay.
Enchanted Toast is a stupid name. I don't know. So Hero of the Web, if you're a new listener, is just basically something of vital importance we find on the internet, something that someone posted in a message board forum or something. So Enchanted Toast says, a few days ago, I made a thread on the official Nintendo forums that I was in love with Marin from Link's Awakening. I said the reason I was in love with her was because of her personality, her appearance, her dreams, and everything else. I've been in love with her since childhood when I had my Game Boy. Marin was a girl on an island with no powers, just words of serene and wanting to fulfill her dream. The story and everything touched my heart. Now I did whoever told everyone that I understand that Marin was not real, but I actually found out that emotions telling me I was in love with the real Marin that was really out there. In other words, we feel that Miyamoto knew these Zelda characters when he drew them from certain people. A lot of people were touched by my message and said we should go on a search for Miyamoto to find the true answer to our romances.
Oh, God.
In other words, we want to ask Miyamoto Dono where the real Zelda people were that he got his ideas from. We feel Miyamoto Dono really knew people named Zelda, Marin, Malone, Link, etc. and our personalities and have put them into the game.
Oh, my God.
We're going to form a search party for Miyamoto. Because these questions we have been wanting to know them all of our lives. Sometimes we even sighted when we were in love with the characters in game and we knew we would never meet them. I cried. However, I feel that we can find them. I tried to get everyone to come with me on this search, but we were still discussing the situation when the topic reached 390 posts. NOA staff deleted it. We don't know why, but it happened. So I found this site. And I'm...
Oh, shit. NOA is Nintendo of America. It took me a minute.
So I found this site, and I'm hoping that this site is the same site searching for the dreams and the answers to the Zelda characters with whom we are in love. I have loved so much for Marin that I sometimes shed tears over her. I know you guys think I might be weird or even crazy for loving a game character, but I am not. You see, it is our emotion that we are trying to reach out to a certain person we love. We can't help it if we are touched by the character's personality, looks, and so on, etc. So I'm just posting here if anyone has suggestions to our situation. I actually have a lot of people that want to come with me and find Miyamoto so he can answer these questions. Our love is really strong for this journey so much that we don't want to put it aside. Finally, I am asking the Nintendo of America staff if they could please revive the thread and give me access to the thread so that I can document the pages as lots and lots of work was deleted.
Oh. Can you imagine being Miyamoto and, like, opening the door to that pilgrimage?
That would look good.
It's like a modern Canterbury Tales.
Tried to find... Isn't there something like that where someone's looking for the real such and such?
They're not even looking. They're looking for the guy who created them.
To tell them who the real one was.
I will tell you now, I am the real Tingle.
You want to be saying that? You want this parade knocking on your door?
How fucked up is that? That's like, I don't know, like knocking on J.J. Abrams' house and saying, you know, who's the real, you know...
But don't even say...
Locke. Who's the real Locke? Locke? I know there's a real one.
But there's a character that played Locke that at least is a person, so there's a connection there. So, yeah, like, it would be more like...
This person was basing it on a Game Boy character.
Yeah, the Game Boy Link thing. So we got... There's
I like
be
that the whole thing is just like about how it's all based on, you know... That he's in love with, it's the personality that must have come from a real person, but then he slips in at the end there.
The looks.
The looks. Yeah. Actually, she's kind of cute.
He's going to be so disappointed. What the hell?
What if the real Marin's like a 65-year-old guy? Then what's he going to do?
That would be the true test.
Then he would do it. This
you
is
see
all
how,
very.
How strong his love is.
No, isn't. What was this? Is this sort of shades of being John Malkovich? Maybe? Possibly?
You're giving a while, him a lot of credit there.
It's been a while.
Shades of insanity.
Yeah, this we should give that. Who's that writer who wrote that? And
Spike. No, he was the director.
Was a director. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So this sounds like a work that he could take
could
on.
Adapt this.
Yeah.
It could make a great movie.
Yeah. I'll play Enchanted Toast for you if you wanna call me. You could PM me on 1UP.com. Just my agent.
Sweaty, pale, overweight guys traveling Japan. I would so
in
watch
search
that movie.
Of the real. I guess his adaptation was kind of like that.
Adaptation, yeah. That's why. I mean, everything he does has got some sort of. Element. Didn't he also do what was the other one with Jim Carrey?
Oh, it was also Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He did.
You're good. I like those.
Are we done here?
I don't know.
I saw
we don't have
people
to,
gathering, but then they walked away.
Yeah, we sent them off.
We're
so
at our limit.
Let's keep going.
We're at our limit.
We can just keep gabbing until
we'll keep gabbing until they throw us out.
Yeah,
we're rebels that way.
What the hell are we going to gab about though?
So we could talk about what we're playing. That's always a good thing to fall back on. We just talk about that shit all day.
Or, I was going to tell one back on the mushrooms thing.
Let's do it. Yeah, that sounds good.
It's got nothing to do with me because I'm against all sorts of illegal substances. I've campaigned actively against them.
In the Reagan administration.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm one of the mothers against drunk driving.
It was also your idea to put in the box of Ferrara pan candies on the when you open the flap, the say no to drugs.
Actually,
say ugh to drugs.
Just say no was me. I gave that to
that's
Nancy
you.
Reagan.
Oh. Holy
yeah.
crap.
I gave
what about that
slogan.
Different Strokes episode with Nancy Reagan? Was that?
I wrote that. I don't know why I'm telling the story. It's my first encounter with anybody on mushrooms. I actually was totally stone cold sober. I was at my dorm room in UC Berkeley. God's honest truth, I was sober. I was actually studying that night, and a friend of mine, this will age me, was at the Jethro Tull concert at the Oakland Coliseum.
And he was on mushrooms, and I knew he had taken them to go to the show. And he came back from the show, and I ran into him in the hallway, and I was like holding my math book or whatever dweeby thing I was working on. And I said, "Hey, how's the Jethro Tull concert?" And he looked at me, and then he looked at the wall. And he kept looking at the wall for about 1 minute, which is a long time to be looking at a wall and not saying anything. And then he just kept looking at the wall and not saying anything. And I just said, "I'll see you tomorrow, okay?" Because I think after I asked him that question, he was kind of back at Jethro Tull at that moment.
I'm glad you asked. Let me show you.
Right. He was letting me know in his mind.
That's pretty harmless.
They opened with Aqualung.
Yeah,
you had to lick his sweat, and you would have been.
Then I would have had the whole content.
At least he wasn't like trying to break down shit for you, like, "Jeff, have you ever thought about infinite space?" And you're like, "Yeah." And then he goes, "It just keeps going, going, going." There's stories like, the abbreviated version, but instances where someone was cranked out enough so that they having a party at their own house and they start thinking, this isn't Tony though. I talked about him before. He was a meth addict, but they have a party at their house. And they,
is this the same guy with the dirty underwear or is this a
another
guy?
One who suddenly becomes convinced that there are people in the walls. And so gets a hatchet and right in the middle of his own party in his own house starts chopping up that wall to find them people.
Whoa. And now everyone, he's searching for Marin.
And everyone goes running away and that party's over just like that.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a party killer.
I got nothing like that, yeah.
I saw a bunch of older people. Well, because I went to a Led Zeppelin tribute band concert a couple weekends ago like in some small town. And it was all the locals and they were all, you know, fairly old, but they were all tripping balls. And there was like this, it was weird. It was like seeing, you know, almost like your grandpa just wandering around. There was one old guy, he looked more like Cliff Clavin, except an older Cliff Clavin. He just kept like barreling through the crowd and like, just like, what the fuck, dude? I felt like I was about ready to have to throw down with Cliff Clavin because he kept
Cliff Clavin?
From Cheers, man. Oh. You don't get any of the TV references. You got to rent some DVDs and get hip with the pop culture.
But eventually the old bouncer took out the old Cliff Clavin, like young concert style. Basically came up, grabbed him, and dragged him out.
Wow. And it was like, he was trying to mosh or something
also like basically I think just trying to cop feels on all the ladies.
The
thing is, you know, your older rock and rollers are getting older now. Yeah, but they're still rock and rolling, and I'm talking about myself.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But I was last Thursday. I went to the Bruce Springsteen concert at the Oakland Coliseum, and you can go ahead and mock Bruce Springsteen, but
you don't talk shit on the boss.
He was cool.
Is he
in
still
his
the
day.
Boss?
He's still the boss. Okay. And it was a great concert. But what I noticed was, you know, the section we were sitting in. First of all, the seats cost like $100 a piece. So, you know, that's not a very rock and roll sort of thing. You know? And basically everybody in our section is like dockers wearing like fucking, you know, practically everybody in the section I was in at some point during the show was texting. Like,
during,
you know,
the
texting
concert?
To their babysitter or whatever. You know, people are, yeah, I mean, it
you
was.
You won't believe where I'm at, right now.
Yeah, but not in a
He's
kid way.
Born to run.
It was like an adult way. I mean, it was all people like my age and older. And it felt very kind of like, oh man,
just
you
bad.
Know, and watching everybody dance, which they probably look like the way I was. It was like, oh, this is just so depressing. You know, yeah,
that
happens. I was born to run. The thing I noticed, the thing that really blew me away about this concert was, I'd actually been at the Oakland Coliseum 27 years ago to see the same guy, to see Springsteen. I remember how awesome that was. It was 4 hours long, blah 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 blah. But at the end of the night, when you know, Bruce leaves the staging and waiting for the encores. I don't know when the last time you guys have been to a big time rock concert was. The end of the night, the lighter thing, people don't do lighters anymore. You know what it is now?
You try to bring that back?
Fucking cell phones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody holds
shit.
Up their cell phone and that. The lights of the cell phones are going around the call scene.
That made me very sad the first time.
Yeah.
And they also, what? Like, you ever get a call from some buffoon and you pick up the phone?
Guess where
and
it's I like, am?
And it's like, hey, just text back, fuck you.
But I did notice the cell phone light bummed me out, but I did notice the aroma of marijuana wafting up through the old folks crowd. And I saw people down in the floor, all the old people kind of dancing away, and I felt like
okay.
Yeah.
All right, we can still do this.
It's weird, though. Even just at the party that Crispin was talking about with the Halloween costumes, there were some people at various points of the night, I'd hear him talking about the new Radiohead album. And I think it's a great album, but it really put it in perspective. I was like, man, it reminds me of, you know, like, whatever, 10 years ago when you hear the 30-somethings and they're just talking about, oh, that Pink Floyd, they got a new album out, or the you got to hear the new Moody Blues. And it's like,
yeah. Well, my big problem.
Shit,
around,
we're already there.
Yeah, it's on the old already station now. Now you know how I feel. What I can't stand about this particular floor, where there's lots of you young folk here with your new video game jobs, is I'll be sitting in my office playing something like Nirvana, and one of these fucking editors, like, you know, whatever, Donahoe, whatever. He actually didn't do it, but, you know, that age bracket will come by and go, wow, you listen to Nirvana? That's so cool. And I'm like, shit, motherfucker, they're my age. Fuck you.
That's Raja.
Wow, you don't listen to Guy Lombardo? Whatever. Ugh. That's way off topic. Yeah. We're so drifting away from anything relevant to anything.
Oh, I got one thing that I could bring up,
yeah,
and we could shut it down if it's not going anywhere, but all there's right, this new trend with console games. I don't know what's happening with PC games in terms of, like, reviewing games, reviewers guides.
Oh,
it started,
yeah,
with,
yeah,
it started with Lair. It's any game that's, like, not pick up and play, or where they can anticipate that people are having difficulty.
In some cases, it's every game, depending on the publisher. Mm-hmm.
We just got one with Tabula Rasa. We got a reviewer's guide.
Mm. Yeah.
Medal of Honor Airborne came with one. Call of Duty comes with one.
It's, what do you think about, like, that, Crispin?
Well, I don't want to read them. I don't want to read them until, like, I'm done with the game. I mean, I didn't actually have it for Lair when I played Lair. I had a lot of problems with Lair. This is a PS3 dragon riding game that relied solely on motion control, and the dragon just, like, did not listen to me. And it ended up being, like, actually, I think a lot of people had the same experience. And now there's one with Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed takes it a step farther. Assassin's Creed's, like, a game where you're back in the Crusades as an assassin, and it's from Ubisoft. They take it a step further with a hotline, an Assassin's Creed hotline in the reviewer's guide. Yeah, basically, it's funny though because the hours are only between 10 and 3, so you can't, like, call it at like 9 at night. But I think it'd be funny to get, like, a little kid to call it,
yeah,
and be like, "Hi, I'm stuck on level 6." I can't.
So this is strictly for the press to call. It's a hotline for, like,
yeah.
Yes, but I'm debating putting it in the review. By the way,
I quoted
the review guide for Medal of Honor Airborne review.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm actually playing that now, so I want to go back and read.
Go take a look at it and see what I said. But yeah, I think when those first started coming out, I was assuming that it was for the increasing prevalence of sort of, you know, do-it-yourself fan sites and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Where, I mean, I'm not saying that they're easier to buy out or whatever, but I think that publishers might assume as much because it's like, hey, I mean, you know, I just started this site and I'm super excited to get on, you know, I'm on a press release mailing list. You guys send me an email every time your game goes gold or every time you get a photo taken with a baseball player, you know, wearing a shirt. And then you get some free games now and then. And then you read it. And it's basically, they're very, you know, they're definitely written in such a way that, you know, we want you to understand. Here's some things that are super important to us, you know, like, and they'll the EA ones will hammer home their catchphrases for every little thing. You know how they have got to name something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything's got its own little trademark on it. And, like, the Black Hand whatever technique or something for Godfather, you know, that was one that I looked at and laughed at. You got to remember, you know, all this stuff is, you know, we're really trying to do this, that, and the other thing. And then when you go and read, I've actually read some reviews not from those fan sites, and they basically read as though, I mean, it could be suspicion, but in my mind they read as though someone read that and they somehow absorbed those points and were like, whatever the thought process was, decided that, yeah, I need to, like, just drive these points home too.
Right.
Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like here's our last attempt. It's like blowing a kiss at the judge right after you did your thing, you know?
Yeah, I can picture a game like Lair where you're sitting there without your reviewer's guide just going, these controls are bullshit. Yeah. And then you pick up the reviewer's guide and says, our controls are bullshit because. Yeah. And you're like, oh, all right.
What you got to understand is, yeah, and this is like before you go and, you know, think of the dumb movie you go into. And say you're, you know, you go into whatever, Batman, and there's some scene where someone falls off a cliff and then the guy reaches, this is in Batman Begins, and the guy reaches over and grabs his hand just in time. And you're like, dude, is he gonna pull him up? Is he gonna do it? What if he drops him? But, you know, and you're making fun of that, right? But then what if the guide was like, you know, we found people just love the tension involved in this and that they've sweat. We've, you know, hooking up electrodes to them, we've seen a physiological change where they're just, you know, we want you to know this, Chris, before you make fun of that, that people, they get worked up when they see that.
It was intentional. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I agree with everything you're saying. I could see where there might be some games where they probably feel, you know, there's probably some definitely like blowing the kiss to the judge. But there's probably also like maybe a feeling on the developer's part, like especially for sites or publications where they know these people are going to just put an hour or two in it, where they're desperately trying to get these people who are reviewing their games to actually look at certain things that are in there that if they don't point them out to, they won't because the critics are too lazy.
Right. They won't. Yeah. They won't.
You know, or where they feel like their game just isn't understood. Or, I mean, I totally what Sean just said is totally right. That, like, here's the justification for why our controls suck so bad. There's that. But on the other side, you know, reading through the Tabula Rasa one before I tossed it into the garbage yesterday, but before I threw it out, I looked through it and I saw, like, you know, they're actually pointing out some of the more deeper things in the game that if you just did a cursory look at it, you wouldn't see.
Well, I'm sure there's a sentiment with some, you know, not every developer, but some developers that game reviewers don't get it or are lazy. Because I've had some friends who've worked at developers who've said, yeah, the sentiment towards games press is pretty much like, what a bunch of lazy bastards who don't get it. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that's part of the element, too. And this isn't, I'm not saying every developer thinks that, but I've heard that sentiment expressed before. So it's got to be some part
educate.
Of it. Yeah, they want to educate. Mm-hmm. I understand the desire to do that, but, I mean, you just got to take that with.
Yeah.
It's an opinionated manual when the opinion is written by the people who made the game, basically.
The ones that I've read are specifically written in such a way where it's like things that everyone would know. It's like, here's our bullet point list. These are the things we think that set this game apart that are, you know, that are its strengths. And it's like they're right there so that when it comes time to write, you got that list to go right back to. Like, hey, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. And by the way, it's also called this technique or this technique. Yeah.
I usually just use the box itself and the box art.
Right.
That's how I use it. This cutting edge 3D experience will blow you away like no other.
I heard it's compelling.
And then I just put my name on it. And it sounds it sounds really good.
Compelling.
Cool.
10 out of 10. So
before we get back into the reviews, Meyer, that's our siren. It just keeps calling us.
Yeah, it does. What?
Talking
reviews.
About. Yeah.
But it's our living.
It is. That's just what we do.
That's why we talk about it.
Let's talk some more about them.
It's the meat of our bread and butter.
Hey, we got to stick that in the review this month. Anyone who could put that in their review gets like a $50 bonus.
A mixed bag of meat and bread and butter.
And potatoes.
Yeah, potatoes come up a lot too. So whatever, like, what's gaming time? I mean, I can't wait to talk about Crysis, but that's going to be another week or so.
Yeah.
With the demo, we could talk about that. I mean, have you guys been playing? I can't say too much because at this point now I've played so much of the game. Well, I mean, I've played all of Crysis once and I'm going through it a second time that it's difficult for me to extricate just the demo experience from everything
else. It's getting an 11, right, out of 10 from us?
If possible, I'd like so. The review guide said that this would be the case where it would make sense to do that. Yeah,
to give it an 11?
Right.
If any PC game ever
They had a good, yeah. They basically gave me some algorithms that showed me objectively why this game
is an 11.
objectively, yeah. But they said, look, we understand sometimes you like to be subjective and just throw unsubstantiated, you know, opinions out there. If you want to do that, go ahead. Otherwise,
here's a few that you might get away with.
Sure.
Right.
Well, we've given 10s to games that are less than perfect because a 10, we're saying overall the experience is a 10. Yes, no game could ever be perfect, right? So if you were going to only give a perfect game a 10, no game would ever get a 10. So we're saying in general, on a curve, this game is a 10. So I think that sets us up for giving Crysis an 11.
Yeah. I was like, where are we going with this?
I'm giving you the clearance to give it an 11.
Yeah. I'm glad.
12.
I would have done it even
give
if, you
12.
If you didn't give me clearance. I would have went back into the document before it went to the printer.
Or maybe Crysis gets the 11 because then StarCraft 2 is going to get the 12.
We're going to have to clarify, too, now. Don't assume – this is all just tongue-in-cheek. Don't assume that we are saying if we could give it – I'm not saying either way.
Crisis might get us, too, for all we know. We could be totally joking.
The entire range is there. You guys play the demo?
I'm just waiting for the real thing.
Like, what point in the is it totally separate from the single-player game, or is it, like, a chunk of it?
We got Darren off mic asking. No, that's okay. I'm just re-asking it for those who can't hear.
The demo is
Darren's asking for when the demo goes up to.
The demo is of a sliver of the very first level.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting. I know I'm going to play it, so I haven't even bothered trying.
Yeah, I haven't played the demo yet.
I'm also in a situation where I'm playing something, but
it's kind of one of those great demos, though. I mean, even any slice of that game where you can play it again and again. Where for me, the single player Call of Duty 4 demo was like, played it once and that was it. No interest to play that again because it's very much through, here's the tram tour, you took it, you're good to go. When you have another kid, you can come back and ride it again. But the Crysis one is there's just so much that you could do, you know. I mean, I've compared it demo-wise to one of the classic demos, the Metal Gear Solid 2 one. In that, you know, you can get a lot of mileage out of it. Part of it was just looking at, like, wow, look how good this looks, and I wish I had this game, but I'm going to try this and that. Maybe there's some secrets in it. And, yeah, I mean, I think it gives a pretty good, fair indication of what a part of the game is like.
Yeah. I mean, I watched Darren play it, and my PC at home has no chance of keeping up. But it just made me, like, think, you know, from a console perspective, like, that engine is so amazing. Like, all the different genres even that engine could be used for.
Yeah,
such an incredibly detailed, lush world with waterfalls and all of that, like an Oblivion or something like that would just...
I keep thinking a golf sim.
Darren's passing a note about...
that just fucking died.
Sorry. Yeah, I didn't even hear I used golf sim. And then Darren left a note. We're going to talk about the DX10. And we don't have a mic.
We're out of mics here.
So,
well, I could step out. You guys are into the PC.
The reason I didn't want to talk about that, Darren, is because it was off the record.
Oh. We got an off the record thing.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not going to talk about it. Okay.
The engine would work well with so many things, I believe.
Yeah, it's just incredible. Like, I mean, it's kind of a pipe dream, but like you look at the way the Zelda series has gone, like they've experimented with different graphics and like their version of the more realistic Zelda is still on basically GameCube hardware, and the world still looks fine, but the potential with that kind of engine with like such an incredible forest environment and all that.
For like especially I'm thinking like horror stuff too, or just for anything with tension, because when the environment is so natural and it's so easy to feel like you're in it,
right,
then it seems like it all the more easier to scare you.
Mm-hmm.
And do things like that. Yeah, I mean, there's so many. Because there really are times. I can't talk about it yet. It's embargoed. But yeah,
okay.
But even in that level, though, yeah. I mean, even in that demo level, it is. There are sections where it seems it's so naturalistic that you can say, "What if they did this, that?" You know, and it would be.
Yeah,
I guess really next week if Sean is wearing a Crysis T-shirt, we'll know
what it is
when he's talking about Crysis.
Why are you saying that? I already gave you my excuse. They gave me some shirt, and I was like, time I took them because like they have cool illustrations.
It this is a here, cool shirt
for the comic listeners out here. The looks like it was modeled on Bill Sienkiewicz, who's one of my favorite. I mean, I know he didn't do it. Another one, maybe a little bit of Paul Pope in there. The illustrator.
Okay, you don't have to be defensive.
So
about
they, it's
you
not
could,
just like
you can wear your game industry swag.
come on, man.
But all
right, let's get back to comic books. You know, here's something we haven't done.
Let's
in a
talk
while
about Mephisto
works.
And Spider-Man some more.
Yeah, we can talk about that, and we could also like. I mean, if you got any, you know, people. Last time we talked about books we were reading in general, people liked it. We could talk about if we have any comics to recommend. We do a lot of making fun of comics and haven't talked so much about the ones that we think are worth reading.
I'm not reading any.
Mephisto?
Not reading any comics? Reading any books?
Yeah, I'm reading books, but I probably recommended this. I've been reading the same book since August.
That Mephisto told you, he went to Jeff Green and said, I will give you $40 more a month in your bank account, but you can't read comics anymore.
Whoa.
Or you can never have married your wife.
Day one.
Yeah, damn it. No, I'm done with comics at this point in my life. Not forever. Yeah. Right now, I'm on a moratorium.
You could read them at the Bruce Springfield. Bruce Springsteen.
Fucking hell. See, this is what's wrong with the youth of today.
Bruce Springfield.
I could tell you
that's
about
like an old
Buffalo
person.
Springfield. Why, that's dope.
Did you go to the Bruce Springfield concert, honey? How was it?
Well, it's like my no old person can pronounce anything right. That's always like, my grandma's like, I don't know what online service she uses now, but she'll always call it CompuSave till the day she dies. Oh, I'm on CompuSave. First of all, it was CompuServe, but it doesn't matter because you're on something totally different.
Shit.
But that's all right.
I'm already getting to that point then because I always say Walgreens when it's Rite Aid, or I say Rite Aid when it's Walgreens, or, you know.
That's
you know
totally that. Forgivable, I think.
Go there and get the, did we ever tell the story of Chief Pemmican?
I think we did. Right. Yeah.
Fucking Chief. He ain't going to tell it anymore.
They have excellent customer service. It's all about their beef jerky smells like garbage.
What beef jerky doesn't smell like garbage?
That's true. Some of it looks like shit. Some of it smells like shit.
Some of it's good.
When you get the two together.
But it was like, yeah, like the Chief Pemmican. Fuck it. We don't have to tell the story again. We can still talk about it. There's no one telling me I can't. That stuff smelled so bad. It was like you could leave it in someone's car under their seat if you wanted to fuck with them. And then they'd get in their car and just like be looking for like the dead squirrel or something.
Shit. Man, you totally just reminded me. I've got... yesterday we went to Chipotle, this Mexican joint.
Left something in the car?
Yeah, no, I left. I didn't finish my burrito, so I took it. I was going to take it home to eat last night for dinner. It's still sitting in my backpack.
Oh,
this burrito's still sitting in there in my office.
Oh, God.
Yeah, probably want to put a sign up in my office not to come in there.
Man.
I was like, I think it was from going swimming in a river or something, and I had these shoes, these sneakers that by the time they dried, they smelled like so wicked. And I think we took those and shoved them under the seat of my friend's car when we went somewhere. And
yeah, I got it.
We came back in, the whole thing was just saturated.
Who do we hate on this floor here that I could put my burrito under their chair for the rest of the day here? How about Garnet on one of yours? I got a surprise coming for you, Garnet.
Hey, that's because
we love the man.
He called us rabble, so.
Yeah, he called us rabble, so he's getting my...
Here, get him lunch.
He's getting my... Yeah. Well, surprise waiting for you, one up yours.
Have some landfill to eat.
That's what rabble, rabble can't help it. Rabble feeds you dirty
the
burritos.
Of the rabble.
I think we've hit bottom.
No, we haven't. We haven't even talked. I brought up talking about comic books and books.
The problem here.
Jim, I don't even read any more comics.
Well, the problem here is that we thought we had a 1 o'clock stop. It's now 1:25, and there's still nobody coming in here.
It looks like they might have wandered to another room.
So we're sort of lost here. We just keep talking.
Well, what about this?
We've got nothing to talk about.
Well, Crispin, have you read Walking Dead yet?
I need to read that.
Going to you instead of Jeff because Jeff already said he didn't
read. I don't read comics.
Yeah. Well, this might.
I read the other zombie series that was out a while ago. Wait, was that Walking Dead where they wind up in a prison?
Yeah, and it's still going.
Oh, okay.
It's zombies in prison?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard you wrong.
But that's a great series. It's still going. I was thinking about this. I was like, because I went and bought books last week and I was like, I got Walking Dead, Blade of the Immortal, mm-hmm. new Vagabond collection. And 100 Bullets and Powers. And of all those, and there's this other one, Ex Machina. And of all those books, it's like Powers is the one that's got a superhero type thing in it, but it's not really about that. It's about detectives who investigate crimes involving
people. Is that still going?
With superpowers?
Or is this just a
It's still going, and it's awesome. It's like actually been going places, too.
Are ones I stopped reading like a year ago, but just because like,
Wait, is 100 Bullets still going?
It's still going, yeah.
Wow.
Around like 87.
Huh.
It's
same writers on all those books?
Yeah, the same team. That's the other thing about those books. Yeah, all the books I've mentioned are definitely, it's like either one person or it's the same team. And
so it's Bendis on Power still?
Yes.
Bendis?
Bendis and however you pronounce the other guy, O-E-M-I-N-G.
Like Oming?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happens with that... Koenig. Is it like Ermig or something? I don't know.
Could it's like Yarmig.
Koenig Ludwig.
Are you excited about that Wanted movie that's coming out based on that?
Oh, God, dude.
Oh,
I just heard about that. But
Let's not talk about that anymore.
Why?
It's like something Mark Miller's involved in.
Oh,
and he doesn't need any of our...
Ryan gets so mad. Mark Millar. You got to pronounce his name right.
It's Miller.
Bitch.
Nothing. I have heard the guy pronounce it himself.
Really?
Yes,
okay. So Mark Miller.
is a comic writer, and he did the Ultimates, which call the Ultimates, not Ultimate Spider-Man or Ultimate X-Men.
Am I allowed to say that series was cool?
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. That's okay. The exception that's like to my superhero
that's
thing.
Like a,
was pretty good, too.
So what's Ryan's problem?
Hates him.
The dude's the biggest like self-congratulatory douchebag in the entire comics industry.
See, I don't know that side of him. I just know his comics.
That's the thing. Yeah, are you trying to be his friend, or are you trying to like read his comic book?
I'm
like,
Ryan. Well, I just don't.
People say the same thing about Vincent Gallo. I love Buffalo 66, and he's an infamous like piece of shit, right? But like again, I'm not like trying to kick it with the guy. I'm not like trying to be his best friend. Like he made a great movie.
There's
maybe
comics,
he writes
like,
good comic books. So
Mark
it's
Miller.
Like,
Mark Miller wrote Superman Red Sun, which is like this like Elseworlds like alternate reality like what if Superman story. It's probably the best Superman story I've ever read.
Okay, look at that.
So it's like I can't deny that.
He
that
probably
really
banned you from
book.
His message board forum, dude.
Oh, he banned me from his message board forum because I was
he
trying
did,
to get
dude.
Banned.
Holy shit.
He did.
That was a fucking wild
here we go.
Guess, dude.
Okay.
Break out the shrooms.
Hold on. Okay, since now you've roped me into talking about Mark Miller, let me just clarify my antagonistic relationship with this guy.
Okay.
My best friend owns, you know, a comic book store. He's on all the comic book message boards, yada yada yada. And he'll always like Mark Miller will always be getting on his boards and like posting like, hey guys, blah blah, you know, whatever thing he's into or wants to do or whatever stupid ass idea he's got. And my friend will like show me these posts because he knows it pushes my buttons because like I get so goddamn annoyed at this guy. And like I'll you know, I would inevitably always go in and just like totally mock him to his face. And like for a year
to
this
his
continued.
Face.
Like, well, I mean, to his face.
To his avatar. His avatar is his face. What do you mean?
Well, as much to his face as you can get on the internet, on his own message board,
just
you know.
None.
And like after a year of this, they finally wised up and booted me out.
Just for stirring up the pot?
Yeah, because that's all I ever really did.
You're just a troll.
No, you.
Pretty much.
You're
like,
a troll.
But like,
you're
I hate the guy so much.
You're a comic book form
troll.
Where did
this come from, though?
The other. Okay, so like.
Why do you hate him, though?
Hold on. Like last week, this is a perfect example of what a jerk this guy is. Like why I can't stand him. But like.
I'm with you, man. Fuck this guy.
There's you know a Superman movie sequel in the works.
What?
And
you mean
well,
to that failed piece of shit one that came out.
Superman Returns.
Okay. Did that fail?
I don't think it performed as expected.
I didn't see it.
It was dumb.
I don't know if it's considered a failure.
It had everything but a story. I mean, they had the right look for Superman. And
right, it was kind of weird.
I mean, they had a bad Lois Lane, but it's just like nothing really happened. And the
Superman
like,
was kind of weird
he was
stalker
creepy, yeah.
through
yeah.
the whole movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, so like it was announced that you know the writers who wrote the Superman Returns aren't coming back to the sequel, which you know maybe that's a good thing, whatever. Right. But then Mark Miller, he got wind of this and he started just like going off about how like oh my god I want to write this movie I was born to revamp Superman, that's why I was given tithing fingers, and he starts going on this whole tirade about how he's gonna get in contact with DC and offer to do this movie for free and all this stuff and like. Like he has some kind of right to do it. It's just like, I hate
and,
this
and
guy.
You feel it should have been you. Is that the issue?
Yeah. Well, no, it's just like the way he goes about it. Like, oh, I'm the best person to do this.
But
my
what, if
ideas
he is?
Are...
what if his movie's really good?
Yeah.
And he does it
what
for
if he
free?
Does have the
Pass
ultimate
the
Superman movie?
Well, they've already told him no, but...
I think he did the best, like, straightforward superhero story that Marvel's published in, you know, 20 years.
And that the Ultimates?
Yeah.
And that's like a kind of a gateway comic because you turn that – you like had a lot of people who are reading it and a lot of people are back
everyone,
in the comics.
Everyone, Shu. Yeah, everyone you give that to who's got even a passing interest in it will totally like it. And the thing is it's so – because it works on the level of the characters as people. I mean you hear this all the time, but most of the time when I hear it cited, like for in the case of Spider-Man or X-Men, Fantastic Four, I mean that was the premise of that. It is a family at the same time. But they just, like, it hasn't worked that way in so long. Instead, it's just this nonstop parade of just random villains and people in
space nonsense.
Dumbass, like, yeah. Halloween Spirit Superstore outfits that, you know,
look,
so many times I've said that.
Walgreens aisle. Walgreens Halloween aisle.
They gave me this thing where instead of having to stand on the street in the sandwich board that says Spirit Halloween, I just keep mentioning it on the podcast. Okay, so anyway, Ryan, sorry. Mm-hmm.
What?
But you're mad. Well, Ryan, you're mad because he thought he could, he... he thinks he can write a good script for a Superman movie.
I don't like him.
What a fucker.
I don't like him.
Piece of shit.
That dude has no humility. God damn it.
Okay.
That's why.
And now you're banned from his site.
I've been banned from his site for a long time.
But so that's why you'd never read his book, although you're trying to pass to me. Hold on, dude.
You know what? Hold on. Before you say this, like, I'll fully admit, like, I have the first volume of Ultimates sitting on my bookshelf on your recommendation that I haven't read yet, just because I'll get into comic book reading mode sometimes, and other times I won't. But I plan on reading that at some point. So
you'll just be gnashing your teeth. Oh, this is good, but fuck this guy.
That's kind of how I feel.
I'm fucking nervous, guy. God damn.
Great comic.
I've got pre-existing biases against certain writers because they're big dicks.
Right,
like
sure.
Like Carlin Ellison. I just know from everything I've heard that he is just an asshole. So I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to give him any money. I don't want to write his collection of his classic stories that I know will be great.
But Ryan hasn't read. You have that trade paperback, and you haven't read it. But in the meantime, you're trying to pass me this book called Booster Gold. Now wait a minute. Now it's my turn to say this.
Okay.
This I opened it up. I had heard of this guy before, but I hadn't really heard of him. So I look at this shit, and it's a football player. It's a fucking football player from the future who comes back in time to play football in the present, or to make bets on football or some shit. And he's wearing like a gold leotard, okay? And he's like, he's ripped in this like onesie unitard, sitting there in this page. I open it up, and he's playing Xbox, and he's holding the controller in this dumbass outfit. And there's like, and he's still posing like he's in the freaking like open, you know, like holding the controller like that. And then so I point it out, and I'm like, look, there's a bunch of word bubbles on this page. I'm like, but there's nothing, no human or computer or anything can produce to fill in these bubbles to make this page, to salvage this page. Like, there's nothing you can do to fix the shit that I'm looking at. And then you gave me that, dude. And every page you flip through, it looks like that shit. Someone, he's just posing, man. It's just like, so like Wank Squad, you know, like someone went through like Bodybuilder Ripped Monthly and drew like a gold leotard on the dudes and then put some bubbles in. He's talking about, football ain't like it is in the future. And you're trying to give me that, Ryan, but you still won't read. You still won't read the Ultimates. That's why I like Mike Millar.
So
Mark Jerry Springer comic episode. Yeah.
So if I read Ultimates, you'll read Booster Gold.
I'll try to read that whole thing. But seriously, when I looked at that, that's the kind of thing where if you're in the bathroom, right, and it's you're in for the long haul, and you've got this, a bottle of baby powder. It's got some, you know, like instructions and prohibitions about use on it. You could read that. You got the toothpaste, or I got Booster Gold. I would probably get a few pages into Booster Gold and pick up the baby powder.
That's not
like,
a very
and that's
good
no
review.
Joke. Like if it was on TV, I would turn the channel. And if like it.
Well, why do you like this comic, Brian?
Well, in defense of Booster Gold,
don't judge a superhero comic by the leotard.
The goofy ass like description that Sean gave of the character is more or less accurate. Okay. But like the whole premise of this comic is that this like this absurd character with this absurd backstory who just wants to be famous and get rich. Like the whole concept of him is ridiculous. Like this whole costume
is
like,
is it a parody? Camp?
It's kind of,
But it's kind of. That's the kind of.
He's a parody
that's,
of
you're
a
weaseling
superhero.
Right there, because it's kind of not. It kind of is, but it's kind of not. That's when I was trying to read it, and it was like what
just
I was reading.
Just read Flaming Carrot instead if you want a parody of a comic book hero. You guys know Flaming Carrot?
Read Ultimates
Carrot
if you want a parody.
Or read Fleming World's Toughest Milkman. You know that comic? Another good one. I'm just passing on old school love.
Springfield do that one?
Yeah, with Jethro Tull.
The Ultimates had an annual, though. You read that, right? You, Sean and Chrisman? The Ultimates
Did
annual?
I don't know.
I believe so.
And probably. They're putting together this team, and it's like the new Defenders or some dumb stuff. And that was a parody of superheroes to the point where it was just some fools, and you couldn't tell what it was. And there's this one guy, it was Ant-Man, and he's stupid, too. It's like a guy who can make himself shrink and grow, and he can talk to ants when he shrinks. And so he
That'd
gets kicked.
Cool.
He's just like a loser. He's all bummed out because, you know, Captain America, like the 40s beefcake, is tapping his ex-wife. And so he goes and he finds these kids doing this. They want to make a hero team. And like he's, you know, he's tapping this one chick and she's like, you got to wear but she makes him wear a Captain America costume to do it, even though he's like with this team because he's like got shunned by Captain America.
he goes out and they try to do their first big bust, and like one of the dudes is in a wheelchair, and they have the wheelchair strapped on the top of this like rental car that they have. It's like their hero mobile. And then they get to like the warehouse, and it's like they got this tip off, and it's some kids trying to steal cigarettes from a shipment from like some like Bowie town or something, you know. And then the Ant-Man freaks out and he goes giant. And it rips his clothes off, and then like all these tabloids take pictures of his unit, and then like that goes on the news. Like that's a good parody. That's a good parody of a superhero.
There was a book that came out a while back that's very, very similar. It sounds like in tone. It's called Formerly Known as the Justice League.
Does it have?
It's about all these like C-list characters who, you know, they form together their own like little super team, but they're all a bunch of like dumb characters.
Yeah,
you know. But similar sorts of
Wonder
situations.
Twins, are they in there? Gleep?
No.
Gleek. Is it Gleek or Gleep?
I thought it was Gleep, but I could be wrong.
I think it's Gleep, because gleeking is when you like launch a little bit of spit from your...
Is that what he does?
From your spit gland.
All right, I'm pulling the plug on this podcast.
wing,
Gleep. And if this last 40 minutes makes it in without being edited, I apologize to the readers.
We're almost out of tape.
Yeah, this is the extra extended late edition. Oh, we never did apologize for being late this week. This is our second week in a row of being late.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We apologize. We will be back on track. We had good reasons, I promise. I think we're going to be back on track next week.
Make no promises.
Yeah, nah, I'm not promising. We're going to try to be back on track next week.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining
Crispin.
Us.
Crispin.
It's a pleasure. You're welcome back.
That's anytime. How you're supposed to address him, too, by the way.
Crispin.
I can't do that.
Because like you know how Bobito. Yeah, Bobito. I heard someone gave him a new nickname, Max Chill.
Max, oh, that's Chill. Awesome.
That's pretty good.
Oh, wow. For his laid-back laid-back stylings of Max Chill.
That fits him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, he's now Max Chill.
Whether Crispin. He likes it or not.
Okay, we'll be back soon next week, and maybe we'll actually be on topic next week. No, we won't.
When's embargo lift on Crisis? We are.